Something tells me you're not taking it as casually as you seem to be. If I was dating that hunk of burning love, I would be giving details to anyone who listened. There's really nothing to tell, Casey lied. All right, I'll let it slide this time, but remember that party I invited you to? You can spill the beans then. Gianna was throwing a lingerie party. She had bragged that she made more money having the parties than she made working at the bank. I'll think about it. No, you're going to give details and lots of them. It will boost my sales. All those jealous bitches will buy what you do, so make sure you bring plenty of money. What are you going to do with all the money you're going to make? I'm going on a singles cruise to meet my new husband. I get a discount on any lingerie I buy. Gianna gave her a wink as she strolled off. Casey envied the woman's boldness. If Gianna said she was coming back with a new husband, she would. Casey drove to a small market not far from the bank, situated in a little strip mall. Hopefully it wouldn't be busy, and she could get back to work before her lunch hour was over. She hurried through the store, tossing items into the buggy, having already planned on making a meatloaf and mac and cheese. The kids would get the hamburger they loved, with the healthy vegetables that made her feel better. With the groceries placed in her trunk, Casey was about to start her car when she saw a familiar figure sitting at the bus stop. Frowning, she got out of her car and walked toward the girl sitting on the bench. Maxie, what are you doing here? Max's daughter had tears on her face, and her eyes were swollen from crying. She jumped up from the bench as if she were going to run away, but Casey reached out, placing a hand on her shoulder and stopping her from fleeing. You'll tell my dad! Maxie's sobs broke Casey's heart. It's okay, I won't say anything. Casey looked at her watch. Do you want me to drive you back to school? Relief flickered across her face. Yes! Maxie followed her back to her car, climbing inside when Casey opened the door for her. Casey got back inside, starting the motor. Taking a left, she drove toward Maxie's school. Why aren't you in school? Casey asked, breaking the silence. Maxie played nervously with the hem of her skirt. I sneaked out. I pretended to be sick, and when the teacher sent me to the nurse, I left. Why? I was meeting someone. Who? Casey had a feeling she knew the answer. Fisher! Is he your girlfriend's brother? Maxie nodded. He waited for me at the corner. We were just supposed to have a lunch together, but he pulled behind the mall. The girl covered her face with her hands. Casey's hands tightened on the steering wheel. Keeping her voice matter-of-fact, she asked a question that needed to be asked. Did anything happen? Maxie shook her head. No! When he tried to kiss me, I jumped out of the car. He got out and called me names, so I ran around the front and saw the bus stop. She began crying harder. He just left me there. I saw him drive away without looking back. Are you sure that's all that happened? Yes. I thought we were just going to have lunch. I swear, Casey, please don't tell my dad. He'll be so mad at me. Casey wrestled with the decision. I'm not going to tell him, but I think you should. Do you want to be constantly worried that he'll find out? What if the school has already called your parents? Lying will only make it worse. It's not easy to keep secrets, Maxie. They steal from you, and you become more fearful than actually facing the consequences. Maxie quit crying. I'll tell him after dinner. That way it will be too late for him to go after Fisher. Casey didn't want to tell her that she didn't think that was going to make a difference to Max, so she remained silent. Can I ask you a question? Maxie asked, her eyes down on her lap. Depends on what it is. Fisher called me a tease, said I led him on. Do you think? No, Casey answered firmly. I don't. I think you trusted him, and it was misplaced. I knew it was wrong sneaking out, but he makes me feel good inside. I wanted to kiss him, but I got scared. Maybe I did tease him, she admitted miserably. Maxie, this is a talk you need to have with your mother. She'll get all crazy because I talked about kissing a boy. She thinks I'm too young to want to kiss. Most of my friends have done more than kissing. I just wanted to see how it felt. Things are the same now as when your mother was your age. Maxie started to interrupt, but Casey didn't give her the time. It is, Maxie. Boys will always pressure girls to give them a sex, and other girls will tell you what they've done to make themselves feel better. Why? I don't know. I've known a lot of women who lost their virginity and regretted who it was with or the timing, but I haven't heard anyone regret keeping it until the time was right. Do you really want to remember Fisher for the rest of your life for giving you your first kiss? God, no, I hate him. You will always remember your first. It's up to you to decide if they're special enough for that privilege. Was yours? Yes, he's very special to me. The night wasn't perfect, and I did it for all the wrong reasons, but if I still remember him when I'm 90, I won't feel bad about it. Maxie looked out the window. You really remember your first kiss? Do you remember a special present your parents gave you? Dad gave me a sweater that I begged Mom for. I wore it until I outgrew it. I still have it in my drawer. I bet you remember exactly how it felt when Max gave it to you, what it looks like, how it felt when you wore it for the first time. You think a sweater is more important than your first kiss? Maxie's eyes widened. I almost messed up, didn't I? Maxie, it could have turned out much worse. Nightmares don't always start with ugliness. The ones that torment us the most are the ones we weren't smart enough to avoid. I won't do it again. Please don't, Maxie. You're a sweet girl, and I would hate for something bad to happen that could ruin something that's meant to be so beautiful. Casey brought the car to a stop in front of the school, and Maxie got out. Thanks, Casey. You're welcome. She watched her walk inside the school before driving back to the bank. She was 10 minutes late by the time she shoved her perishables into the refrigerator in the break room. The rest of the day was spent waiting on customers, her hand constantly picking up the phone to call Max. Feeling guilty, she wanted to call and tell him about Maxie skipping school, but she couldn't bring herself to break the girl's confidence. If Maxie didn't tell him tonight, she would tell him herself. Feeling better about coming to a decision, the day went much smoother. After work, she grabbed her groceries and was one of the first ones waiting to leave. Jack noticed her impatience when several employees lagged behind. Hot date? She keyed in the code. More like a firing squad. I'm afraid I've done something to make him really mad. I'm hoping a good dinner will keep him calm. Make him dessert. Whenever my wife does something she shouldn't do, she makes me a chocolate cake, Jack advised. Casey went to her car. If she hurried, she could stop at the bakery on the way to Max's. She was going to buy him the biggest chocolate cake in the store. That way, he would be too full to kill Fisher. When she pointed to the cake she wanted in the display case, the woman hesitated, asking if she was having a party. No, Casey said impatiently. This one is 24 servings. I have a smaller one that serves 12. Give me the one for 24, and give me a couple of vanilla cupcakes. When the salesgirl gave her a knowing look, Casey guessed she and Jack's wife weren't the only ones who used chocolate cake as a deterrent to murder. Dinner was ready when Max entered with his kids, and they stared at the food on the table. All the children, except Maxie, jumped up and down in excitement when they saw the large cake sitting on the counter. While her eyes said a silent thank you, Casey gave her an encouraging smile as she directed everyone to sit. The boys and Max filled their plates high with the mashed potatoes and meatloaf, ignoring the broccoli. This is great! None of Dad's other girlfriends made us dinner! Maxim spoke with his mouth full, wincing and crying out in pain a second later. Why did you kick me? He asked his sister. Because you shouldn't talk about Dad's other girlfriends in front of Casey. It's rude. You could hurt her feelings. Casey broke into the burgeoning fight. It's okay, Maxie. I know your dad has had a lot of girlfriends. Max kept eating, his eyes staring into hers in amusement. She was tempted to stick her tongue out at him, but she didn't want to set a bad example. See, she knows Dad's a horn dog. Max choked on his food, while Casey almost spilled her glass of water. You're not supposed to say that, Maxie reprimanded him before his father could. Why, that's what Mom calls him. Eat your dinner. I'll have a talk with your mother when I take you home tomorrow, Max said grimly. Maxim looked stricken that his father and mother would get into an argument. How about we finish dinner so I can cut the cake? Casey gave Max a warning glare as she cut him another slice of meatloaf and more potatoes. Eat up. If she was lucky, he would eat himself into a food coma. They ate their dessert in the living room while they played video games. She was about to take the last bite of cupcake when Max reached over, pulling her hand to his mouth. How come you're the only one who got a cupcake? Because I like vanilla more than chocolate. Max took the bite from her hand, licking off the small bit of vanilla that was left on her fingers. Geez, Dad, that's gross, Randy said, sitting down on his dad's lap. Max winced, shifting his son to one of his thighs. I'll remind you of that in about 20 years, Max smiled, wrestling with his son. It won't be that long, Maxton said, concentrating on the video game. He already has a girlfriend. Max straightened to look down at his innocent son. You have a girlfriend?
Her name is Sophia, Randy admitted with shining eyes.
Like father, like son, Casey burst out laughing, almost dropping the controller.
God, let's hope not.
Dad, she's cheating, Maxton complained.
Another one takes after you. Sore losers must run in the family gene pool, Casey taunted.
She didn't even have the map and she found the crown.
Because I'm good, Casey sank back against the couch.
Now the boys have to do the dinner dishes, Maxie whooped, bringing the red faces of the boys to her.
Their sister stood.
Come on, I'll help you.
The four children went into the kitchen.
You're going to trust them to do the dishes?
Yep,
Max said, lifting her onto his lap.
You're not going to help them?
Nope.
He teased her neck with small kisses.
You have to help them at least put the food away. It was the girls against the boys. You're a boy, so you have to help.
Max lifted his hips, pressing his cock against her ass.
You staying the night?
No, I told you I don't like staying when your kids are here.
Then I'm not helping.
Are you trying to blackmail me?
Is it working?
He murmured seductively.
A little bit, Casey admitted, lying back against his chest.
I'll sneak you out before they wake up,
he promised, his hand sliding up her thigh under her dress. Casey jumped up, walking toward the kitchen.
Where are you going?
To help the kids. Have another slice or two of cake.
You going to stay?
Nope. Looks like you lose twice tonight.
Chapter 19. Casey was pacing nervously downstairs, trying to listen to any sounds from upstairs. It had been over an hour since Max had taken his children to bed. The sound of the door slamming had her hurrying to the front door. Max's boots stomped down the stairs, jarring the whole house. Casey barely managed to press herself against the door, preventing him from storming out before Max reached it.
Move!
Calm down, Max. Casey placed a hand on his chest. He knocked her hand away.
Do not tell me to calm down. I'm going to rip that punk's dick off and shove it down his throat.
The graphic image had Casey going pale. Max was angry enough to do it. Max, you don't have to do anything. She's over her crush on him. He humiliated and hurt her. She doesn't need you to make her feel worse about what happened.
She's going to feel a whole lot worse when I smash that phone of hers and ground her ass.
Casey stood mutely, letting him rant as she remained in front of the door.
You don't have anything to say to that? Max snapped.
No, I think her punishment should be discussed between you and her mother.
You should have called me immediately.
Max bashed his fist against the door above her head.
Perhaps, but I wanted Maxie to tell you. Do you want her afraid of you?
No!
Then go back upstairs and show her you have everything under control. Casey nodded to the top of the stairs where Maxie was standing, crying.
Damn it!
He muttered, turning to go back upstairs. Casey watched as Max apologized to Maxie for his outburst, then lifted her up, giving her a hug and carrying her back into her bedroom. Casey didn't know whether to go or stay. Undecided, she went to the kitchen to get her purse. The lone vanilla cupcake looked pitiful all by itself, so Casey did the humane thing and ate it. She was tossing the wrapper in the trash when Max came into the kitchen.
I thought you left.
I was about to, but I couldn't resist the cupcake. Maxie okay?
Yes. I shouldn't have lost my temper in front of her or you. I'm sorry.
To tell the truth, I was pretty upset at that boy, too. I was just relieved I was there.
Thank you, Casey. Max shuddered. It rips my guts out that she didn't call me.
She was afraid and embarrassed, Max. Next time she's in a position like that, I think she'll call.
It better not be any time soon. Maybe when she's 30, I can deal with her boyfriends without wanting to kick their asses.
Just try to remember how you feel when you're in love. Your experiences will help with theirs.
A blank look crossed his face. You have been in love, haven't you?
I've liked several women, but no, I've never been in love. That heart and flower stuff is for pussies,
Max snorted. I wonder if Ice would agree with you, or is he a pussy? Her question had Max's lips tightening.
He's no pussy.
I didn't think so. Casey folded her arms across her chest. It's time I went home.
You're not going to stay?
Casey almost lost it with the big man.
She walked across the floor, coming to a stop in front of him. Her finger poked him in the chest. I fixed you dinner, listened to your kids call you a horn dog, watched you smash your fist in the door, then had to put up with you telling me your asinine theory on love. I'm not exactly in the mood to fuck you tonight. He grinned unabashedly at her.
I said thank you.
I need to leave before I smash the rest of that chocolate cake in your face. He bent down, kissing her into silence.
They need to make lipstick in that flavor.
Her arms went around his shoulders.
Flavor? Vanilla cupcake.
Max licked the corner of her lips. You would like anything dessert-flavored. Casey stepped back while she was still strong enough. Good night, Max.
Night, Casey.
His amused voice followed her out the door. As Casey was pulling out of the driveway, she looked to the upstairs bedroom and saw Maxie standing in the framed window. She waved goodbye to her. Casey's throat tightened, glad that she had resisted Max's effort to get her to stay. She was growing attached to his children, and for a man who didn't believe in love, he had managed to capture hers. When he broke up with her, not only was it going to be hard dealing with his loss, but also the loss of the children. They had been dating a couple of months, and if Max kept to his schedule, she only had 4 months left, so she was already preparing herself. He wasn't the only deadline looming, though. Monday, she would begin training her replacement at the bank. When her relationship with Max ended, she would be leaving Queen City. The Predators filed into the Burger Hut. Saturday night was always a busy night at the hangout for local teenagers. The large group of Predators found two empty booths, and Max slid into the one closest to the middle of the restaurant. That way he had the best vantage point to observe the different groups. Most of the teenagers avoided looking in their direction, although a few cocky ones stared at them in bravado, trying to hide their fear.
"Do you know which one he is?" Jackal asked, sliding in next to him.
"No."
Max shrugged, then looked around the restaurant, and one young punk caught his eye. He fit the description from Maxie's mom. The waitress approached.
"What can I get for you guys?"
The men all ordered burgers and fries.
"Bring us all chocolate shakes," Max ordered.
Once the waitress left with their orders, his gaze traveled back to the punk who had lured his daughter from school. He was surrounded by girls his own age, with one overdeveloped brunette hanging onto his arm. He thought he was too protected, surrounded by his friends in the restaurant. The little prick was going to find out that Max didn't care who saw him giving the beating he was going to enjoy. The men chowed down on their food when it arrived, most of them having ordered two burgers and chili cheese fries. Max ordered each of the brothers a sundae for dessert.
"We need to come out with Max more often," Buzzard groaned, dropping his spoon into the empty ice cream dish.
The waitress stopped at their table, placing the ticket down.
"We are here as guests tonight. Fisher's paying."
The waitress picked the ticket up, going to the kid Max had already guessed was the one he was searching for. He went pale when the waitress handed him the ticket.
"That's the one," Max said grimly, getting to his feet.
Ice Jackal and the rest of the club followed him as he made his way across the room.
"There must be a mistake," the boy began before Max's hand circled his throat, lifting him easily off his feet.
"You're fucking right. You made a big one trying to mess with my daughter."
"Your daughter?"
"Maxie, you tried to fuck with a 13-year-old who happens to be under the protection of the Predators."
"I didn't..."
Max tightened his hand around the liar's throat.
"You didn't get her to sneak out of school and meet you, then drive her to the mall and try to feel her up? You better not lie to me. I have the surveillance tape from the mall."
Max didn't feel any compunction about lying to the boy dangling from his hand.
"I drove her to the mall because she asked me to. When I tried to open the door for her, she freaked out on me." "You just made your second mistake."
Max released his tight grip, and Fisher fell to the floor, barely managing to keep from falling on his face. Max gave him enough time to get his balance before slamming his fist into his face. Fisher fell backward into the booth, and Max reached down to jerk him out.
"From now on, you don't look at my daughter."
Max slammed his head down onto the table, dumping a cup full of Coke on his bleeding face when he passed out. The teen was still groggy when Max picked him up again.
"If I see you near her again, I'll fucking kill you."
Max let the boy go, shoving him toward his friends.
"The cops are coming," Jackal warned him.
"You all get out of here. I'll see you when you bail me out."
Max sat down in a chair and waited for the cops. The brothers scattered like dust in the blink of an eye. They had provided backup if he needed it, but there was no reason to spend the extra money to bail them all out of jail. The cops called an ambulance for the punk who had thought he could destroy Max's daughter. Cuffed and placed in the back seat of the cruiser, Max actually felt like he was in a good mood until he realized Casey was expecting him later tonight. She was going to be pissed he had gone after the boy. He began whistling as the cop drove him to the police station.
"Why in the hell are you in a good mood? Your ass is going to be locked up for a while."
The cop looked at him in the rearview mirror.
"You ever fucked a woman when she's mad?"
Chapter 20. Casey picked up her cell phone, muting the ringer.
"Got a minute?" Gianna asked, coming into her office.
"Yes, what can I do for you?" Casey asked, seeing her friend with an unusually serious expression on her face. Gianna closed her office door before taking the chair in front of her desk. She raised the letter in her hand.
"I received this letter in my mailbox today. You picked me as the new vice president?"
"Yes."
"I don't understand. I didn't apply. Lonnie has been here longer and he wants the job."
"You don't want the promotion?" Casey questioned.
"Of course I do. It's a large pay raise and the benefits are better."
"So you'll take the job?" Casey straightened the papers on her desk as she waited for her answer.
"Of course I want the freaking job. Are you crazy? Lonnie's going to be upset, though."
"Don't worry about Lonnie. You deserve the promotion. You're the most reliable worker the bank has. You remain cool when the clients get angry, and your cash drawer is always spot on. You will make a great vice president. I'll begin your training this afternoon. In a month, you'll know as much as I do."
Gianna stood up, holding her hand out. "Thank you, Casey. I haven't said anything, and I'd like to keep this personal, but the extra money will come in handy. My mom is getting older and is having a hard time working full-time. With the raise, I can help her out until she retires."
Casey went around her desk, taking Gianna's hand and tugging her close for a swift hug. "We'll all benefit from you taking the job. You're a valuable employee to the bank." Gianna gave her a watery smile as she paused before opening the door.
"What about Lonnie? I don't want him to find out from the grapevine."
"Send him in. I'll break the news to him."
"Thanks again, Casey."
She went to get herself a cup of coffee. When she returned, Lonnie was sitting in the chair Gianna had vacated.
"Gianna said you wanted to see me. Have you made a decision about the new vice president?"
Lonnie had told everyone in the bank he had applied for the position when the previous vice president had quit to stay home with her new child. Casey closed her door, setting her coffee cup down on the desk.
"Yes, I have. I offered the job to Gianna, and she accepted."
Anger flooded his face as he stared at her in disbelief.
"You've got to be kidding, right? I've worked my ass off for that promotion."
"Yes, you have, and it's been a waste of time. Not only are you not becoming vice president, but you're fired. Clean your locker out and leave the bank. Jack will escort you."
Casey motioned her head toward the security guard who stood outside her glass office.
"You can't fire me."
"Why can't I fire you? You know damn well why."
"Because you're paid by the predators? Because you think, since I'm seeing Max, that your job was safe after you let Jackal into the safe deposit box area?"
Casey mocked his stunned expression.
"I didn't need to do much investigating to figure out who did it, Lonnie. Only one person is constantly hanging around my office and knew where I kept that key. You were the only one with access to the vault besides me."
"They won't let you fire me."
Lonnie's anger had turned to smugness.
"I've got news for you. The predators don't tell me what to do. You need to leave now, and I won't be giving you a reference."
"You fucking bitch. I'll be back at work tomorrow, and I'll get that promotion, too. You're the one who's going to be out on your fucking ass."
Casey didn't reply as she opened the door for Jack. Lonnie threw her an angry glare as he left. The other employees were shocked to watch Lonnie escorted off the property. Casey didn't answer any of the questions directed her way from the ones wanting the gossip first. She worked through her day normally, as if she hadn't fired someone and her boyfriend wasn't locked up behind bars. She'd been furious at Max when she had answered her cell phone to hear a recording that the call was coming from the jailhouse. Max's voice coming over the line explaining that he had beaten up Maxie's teenage crush had infuriated her.
"Are you crazy? He's a kid! What if he had raped her that day? What if you hadn't been there and a pervert snatched her from the bus stop?
Anything could have happened. He talked her into leaving school. The punk even sent her a picture of himself. He's fucking lucky I didn't kill him.
You know these conversations are recorded, don't you?
Casey snapped at him. How long are you going to be in jail?
Until this afternoon. I'm waiting for Creed, Ice's lawyer, to post bond.
How bad did you hurt him?
Nothing that won't heal in a week or two. I have to go, but I didn't want you waiting up for me. See you Monday.
He hung up before she could tell him goodbye, and he had been calling her all morning. She hadn't answered, not because she was angry at him for beating up Fisher, she thought he deserved it, but because she knew she was going to fire Lonnie and that he was connected to the Predators. She had been afraid she would break and tell him what she was going to do, and he would try to talk her out of doing it. Lonnie deserved to be fired. She didn't feel the least bit guilty for it. With his ties to the Predators, it would place him with too much power. He would be able to provide all kinds of illegal services for them, and Casey wasn't going to stand back and watch it happen by turning a blind eye. She sighed. Max was going to be furious, and they hadn't been together for several days. She missed having him in her bed. It was too big and lonely without him. When she left Queen City, she would leave the bed behind, just like everything else. Max tapped his knuckles on the desk. Hurry up! As soon as the papers were placed in front of him for his signature, he signed them, then was given his wallet and cell phone. His lawyer took the paperwork from him as they walked outside into the hot day. Try to stay out of trouble, Creed advised, at least until I can get these charges dropped. Did you have to kick his ass in front of so many witnesses?
I lost my temper.
If I can't find something on his parents or him, you're going to do some time, Max.
You'll find out something, you always do, Max said indifferently.
If he went to jail for a few months, it was worth it.
Ice will fire me if I don't. I'll call you when I find out the court date, Creed said, going to his car. I'll drop you off at the clubhouse.
Max got in the front seat. He was halfway to the clubhouse when his phone rang.
Yeah, he answered. Where are you?
Max instantly recognized KC's voice.
On the way to the clubhouse, why? You still seeing that chick from the bank?
Yes.
The bandits are hitting the bank at closing time today.
You couldn't have given us more warning? Max yelled into the phone.
They didn't tell us until an hour ago when X told us to get our weapons ready. I have to go, they're waiting on me. I'll do what I can to protect her.
Hurry the fuck up! Max screamed at the lawyer. Creed stepped on the gas, going through a red light. As soon as he stopped in the parking lot, Max jumped out of the car. Jackal opened the door as he drew close.
KC called. The bandits are going to hit the bank at closing time.
Max looked at the clock behind the bar. While the brothers went for their weapons, Max ran to his bedroom, tearing up the floorboard to pull out his. Max heard Jackal yelling directions to the brothers, then the sounds of the bikes being started. He ran out the club door, getting on his bike. Then Ice led the men out of the parking lot, their weapons hidden behind their jackets. He sped past the brothers, down the busy road, weaving through the heavy traffic. Max knew the Predators were going to stop the bandits because they were pulling off a job without their permission, but he only had one purpose, and that was to make sure Casey wasn't hurt. He owed her for taking care of Maxie. Max refused to acknowledge to himself that wasn't the only reason, despite the fact that his heart was pumping with fear for the woman he had been fucking for the last 2 months. The Predators hadn't forgiven her, they never would, but Max owed her his own personal debt, and he always paid his dues. The bank looked eerily quiet when they pulled into the parking lot behind it. Max got off his bike, striding toward the building.
Fuck! Max, get back here!
Ice yelled. He didn't slow. Casey was inside the bank, and no one was going to stop him from getting to her. Jackal and Fade came running up behind him, trying to catch his arms.
Are you fucking crazy? You're going to get yourself killed,
Jackal snarled.
Go back. I'm going inside.
Max went to the front of the bank and saw the cars out front. However, there was no sign of anyone coming or leaving the bank. He stepped forward to push the door open, expecting it to be locked, yet the door easily flew open. Max wanted to pull his gun out, but if nothing was going down, he would be creating mayhem. No one was sitting at the front desk as he came around the corner to find his suspicions were proven correct. The bank employees were on the floor. The bandits had been too fucking stupid to place someone at the door. They were standing over the employees and customers with guns pointed at them.
A chill ran through him when he saw they weren't wearing masks. It was a clear sign they planned to take out everyone inside.
X, we have company!
One of the gunmen yelled to the leader of the group, who had Casey on her knees in front of her office.
Shit, I told you to watch the door, Rafe!
I wasn't till this bitch took off running. One gunman pushed an attractive black woman toward the rest of the hostages on the floor. Max found several guns pointed at him.
I needed to make a deposit, but I guess I won't now. Don't want any of you fuckers taking my money.
Max's snide voice had X leaving Casey, moving toward him.
We have a smartass who wants to die.
The barrel of a gun was pushed into his face.
Don't want to die, just want to keep my money.
Max was used to playing stupid. He had learned the dumber someone thought he was, the more they underestimated him.
Those two behind you want to make a deposit, too?
X asked sarcastically.
Fuck no, they were going to make a withdrawal.
Max groaned inwardly. He had thought Jacqueline Fade had broken off when he had entered the building.
Rafe, lock the fucking door. You three, over there.
He motioned them toward Casey, which suited Max. He went to Casey, dropping down to his knees beside her. Jacqueline Fade dropped down on her other side without being told.
I told you the predators would show up.
One man dressed in an expensive suit came from behind the counter.
Lonnie, don't do...
Casey began. X raised his gun, slamming it into the side of her face and knocking her into Jackal, who put an arm around her to support her weight.
Shut the fuck up! When I want to hear your fucking voice, I'll tell you!
Max wanted to take Casey from Jackal, but didn't want to show X she meant something to him. She had a cut next to her eye, which began to ooze blood.
Did you get the vault open?
It's on a timer. Lonnie glanced down at his watch. It will open in another 15 minutes.
Get them tied, X ordered.
While the men began zip-tying the employees and customers, X went behind their backs.
I'll take care of it, X. You keep them covered.
Casey stood after zip-tying a man who was lying on the floor. KC went behind them, and Max felt him wrap the plastic cord around his wrist, leaving enough space that if he was careful he could wiggle his hands free. He then moved behind Jackal and Fade, tying each of them. When he went to tie Casey's wrists, X stopped him.
Leave her hands free. We're going to need her palm print. Cop is pulling up outside,
Rafe yelled from the doorway.
Unlock the door and let him get inside the door before you take him down. If anyone opens their mouth, I'll put a bullet in their head, X warned.
Max couldn't see the doorway from his position, but he heard the scuffle that was taking place. The police officer was shoved toward the lobby by Rafe with a gun at the back of his head.
Get his weapon, Casey!
X kept his gun trained on them as Casey took the cop's weapon and tied his hands behind his back.
Bring him here!
X motioned Casey to place him beside Max. The officer was thrown to the floor.
I'm going to give you one chance to go home tonight. Call the station and tell them the bank is clear. If not, you're going to be leaving in a body bag. You get me?
Yes. The officer was young, and his shaky voice didn't inspire confidence that he would be able to keep his head when all hell broke loose. The officer pushed a button on his shoulder.
Officer McDaniel reporting. Checked on the silent alarm. It was a code 8. All's clear. Going on my dinner break.
A voice answered back, giving him a code. X pressed the gun tighter to his temple.
Code 4.
Rafe?
X questioned.
He told him it was a false alarm and that he's okay.
Smart move.
X removed the gun from his temple.
Get his hands tied.
KC tied his hands, then moved back to watch the others lying on the floor.
Lock and watch the door.
Rafe went back to the front of the building.
10 more minutes, the little weasel reminded X.
He reached down to grab a handful of Casey's hair, jerking her face upward.
You stupid bitch. The predators weren't the only one willing to pay for my help.
The bandits and I have had this planned for weeks. We had this arranged for next weekend.
But you firing me made us step up our plan before you could delete my codes.
You didn't have to shoot Jack.
The security guard was leaning up against the cashier station with blood coming from his shoulder.
Lonnie shrugged. I never could stand him anyway. I fooled everyone but him. He was constantly watching me.
You didn't fool me either. I knew you were dirty. No one kissed more ass than you.
Casey's words enraged Lonnie. His foot struck out, kicking her in the stomach. She huddled over, gasping for breath.
You think you're a big man kicking a woman? Let's see how brave you are with a man.
Lonnie turned to Max with a hate-filled expression that quickly turned to alarm when Max pulled his hands free and grabbed Lonnie's legs, jerking them out from underneath him. The sound of a loud, meaty thunk sounded through the bank when his head hit the tiled floor. Then, all hell broke loose. Chapter 21 Casey found herself jerked to her feet by Jackal.
"Get her behind some cover!"
Max yelled. Casey saw Max stand, pulling his gun from behind his back and firing at X as he ran to jump over a low wall. His gun came up to fire back at Max and shattered her glass wall as Max dove behind her desk. Jackal shoved her back behind the cashier's booths, jerking his gun from behind his back, then firing at the men guarding the customers who were frantically trying to escape the bullets flying around the room.
"Stop shooting! Someone's going to get killed!" Casey screamed.
Jackal lowered his gun, reloading it.
"They don't plan to leave anyone alive. That's why none of them are wearing masks," he snarled.
It had never entered her mind that the men would brutally kill them all, whether they cooperated or not. Her frantic gaze searched for Gianna and her other employees, wanting to make sure they were okay. Many of them had managed to make it to the break room, which had a steel fire door. Casey gave a relieved breath, seeing her friends were safe. The only ones still exposed were Jack and the police officer who had tried to block a bullet aimed at her.
"We have to help them!
If we try to get to them, we'll be sitting ducks," Fade said,
taking a shot at one of X's men. Casey tried to scoot behind Jackal, attempting to crawl close enough to Jack to drag him behind some cover.
"Stay still!"
Jackal jerked her back as a bullet tore through the wood by their heads.
"Fuck!"
Jackal muttered. Taking her arm, he dragged her backward to a door. Casey felt the carpet burning her skin as she was pulled along the carpet.
"If we get out of here alive, I'm going to kill Max myself."
Fade dived head first into the back room as two of the bandits came around the side of the booths. Casey screamed as she was roughly shoved through the doorway with Jackal falling on top of her. Fade slammed the door closed. The sound of bullets hitting the door had Casey placing her hands over her head.
"This door isn't going to hold them for long."
"If we can get to the vault room, we'll be safe in there as long as Lonnie doesn't wake up," Casey said shakily.
"Lead the way, then. Another minute and we're all dead if they get inside."
Fade flinched as another round of bullets hit the door.
"Go now!"
Jackal yelled when the gunshot stopped. The three of them crawled along the floor toward the vault room where Casey rose to her knees to key in the code to open the metal door. Once inside, they slammed it closed. The vault light was blinking green, so Casey hastily placed her hand on the lit screen, and the metal door slowly started to open.
"Thank God,"
Casey said, jumping up to run inside as they heard kicks on the wooden door from the room they had just crawled from.
"Don't thank him yet. How do you close this motherfucker?"
Jackal snapped. Casey ran to the vault door, reaching for the handle, then slamming the door closed and closing them inside. They were safe for now. Even if Lonnie regained consciousness, it would take 30 minutes to reset the timer. Casey fell to her knees, trying to slow her frantic breathing.
"It can't be opened for another 30 minutes. By then the police should be here."
Casey saw the two men stare at each other.
"What?
You think Max has time for the cops to get here?"
Casey swallowed in fear. Max was still out there, and he didn't have a metal door protecting him from the bank robbers. She stood up, going for the display board by the metal door, beginning to key in the override sequence.
"What are you doing?"
"We have to help Max," she screamed at the two men.
Jekyll's arm went around her waist, pulling her away.
"Stop, we have to help him!"
Casey fought against him like a crazy woman. Her nails cut into his arm around her waist. When that didn't work, she managed to lift his arm enough that she could bite down on one of his hands.
"Damn it!"
Casey felt a hand go to her neck as she continued to struggle frantically, and her vision quickly began to dim. Whimpering, she tried to keep fighting.
"I have to help him!"
she pled to the merciless face that was staring down at her.
"Max would kill us if you were hurt. Sorry, but you're not going to open that door."
Jekyll's face tightened into a merciless mask. Casey tried one last time to escape his hold, but her legs gave out as the darkness spread through her consciousness. Max fired his gun, trying his damnedest to hit X. The son of a bitch managed to avoid being struck by the flying bullets. When he saw KC running toward the cop lying on the floor, Max stood, giving him cover as he dragged him into Casey's office behind the desk.
"You crazy fucker! What in the hell are we going to do now?"
KC scooted next to him.
"Beats the fuck out of me! Just try to get out of here without getting your head blown off!"
That's what I was trying to do.
KC, I'm going to kill your ass, traitor.
Guess they figured out I'm not with them anymore.
A bullet hit the phone on Casey's desk, shattering it into bits of plastic.
You think?
Max stated sarcastically.
Shit!
KC aimed and fired at one of the bandits who had gotten brave and was attempting to get closer. He fell to the floor, a bullet hole through his gut.
Never could stand that son of a bitch. And everyone thinks I'm the crazy one, Max thought.
Two more tried to get closer, but he and KC both fired, making them retreat.
I have to get out of here before the cops get here.
KC had been the only one smart enough to put a bandana across the lower portion of his face. Max used his foot to slide Casey's chair closer.
Cover me!
Max waited a second for KC to begin firing a spray of bullets before standing and picking the chair up, smashing it through the bullet-ridden window to the outside.
Get your ass out of here, Max shouted, dropping back down behind the desk. I'm not going to leave you.
Go! I'm going to be right behind you, Max lied. KC didn't argue, taking a flying leap out of the window. Max saw him hightail it across the parking lot. The cop lying on the floor next to him groaned in pain, regaining consciousness.
Lay still,
Max pulled him closer to his side, seeing X trying to crawl through the bank to get closer. Two others were coming at him from different directions.
Motherfucker!
Max fired at the one who was almost on him, then shot again to make sure he wouldn't be getting up. Nothing happened. He was out of bullets. Reaching down, he slid the knife he had in his boot out. If he was going to die, he was going to take at least one more with him. The sound of crunching glass had him jerking around to see Ice, Buzzard, and Stump coming through the window. Ice handed him a gun, then took another from behind his back.
Where's Jekyll and Fade?
They made it to the back of the bank with Casey. Everyone else managed to get to a room at the side of the bank.
Max quickly filled them in.
I'm going to kick your ass for this, Max.
No shit, Max answered, finally getting a bullet in X's shoulder, but it didn't stop him. At least he was backing off to try a different tactic. The sound of the police bullhorn from the outside heralded the first time that Max could remember he was glad the cops had arrived.
How are we going to let them know we're not the ones who started this crap fest?
Buzzard looked at Ice for the answer that would keep them alive. Ice took his cell phone out of his pocket.
Never thought the day would come that I'd have to call the cops to explain myself, Ice said ruefully, making the call.
Max listened as Ice told the dispatcher that Max had come into the bank and seen the robbery.